Todd Zwillick, it's takeaway Washington correspondent, joins us. You know, this is one of those days, Todd, I suspect, where a lot of members are going to rise, have their remarks inserted into the record. They're going to note the military facilities in their districts and, you know, really express their condolences to the families here, right?
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. You're talking about the halls of Congress, of course. And you know, it was really interesting and a little bit shocking last night, John, right after this incident happened, there were some votes on the House floor. And all of us who, you know, are covering health care and just covering the House, we're in our normal positions off the House floor. Members who hadn't been watching TV or had been in meetings were finding out about it as they entered the House floor, some of them finding out about it from reporters in conversations, and you could just see faces going ashen. Aides ran around and organized a moment of silence on the House floor at that point, and then some statements from John Carter, who represents the district in Texas where Fort Hood is located, made a statement, and Majority Leader Steny Hoyer made a statement on the House floor, and members bowed their heads for a moment of silence that's longer than most in these situations.
Sure.
It was a solemn moment.
Well, you know, Washington is full of opportunities for, you know, headline-grabbing photo ops and news conferences. But I suspect it was more significant and more substantive than that when you went to the Council on American Islamic Relations news conference there in Washington. What happened?
I did. I went there. There were several imams, not only from the D.C. area, but also from the Council on American Islamic Relations, who had a couple of messages for the assembled media there and for the cameras. One was condemning the attacks in no uncertain terms, saying they were horrific and immoral for someone of any belief system. Sending their support to families of those injured and those killed, and also to the troops. And then also asking not only for calm, but also for a separation, a de-linking, as one imam described it, of the incident from any issues related to 9/11 or fear of Muslims,
right,
and this incident. One of them said, Tim McVeigh had a religious community and a religious belief, but nobody ever talked about it. It wasn't an issue.
Right.
So let's not make it.
The Oklahoma City bomber there.
That's right. Let's not make it an issue here. Let's de-link them. And also the other message they had was calling on Muslims to be prepared and be vigilant for potential backlash in their communities after an incident like this.
Well, you know, there's a number of sort of parallel universes to note this morning. You've noted there the Muslim Americans' experience living in the United States and watching these kinds of stories. And of course, a Muslim American is the suspect in this rampage at Fort Hood. We're also talking about the parallel universe that exists between military families and civilians in responding to this war. And, you know, it's odd that members of Congress are actually in the intersection because so many of their constituents are in uniforms in a lot of these districts around the country.
There's no doubt about it. I mean, Fort Hood, I don't know how many personnel are stationed there, John, but it is a gigantic facility. And a member like, for instance, John Carter, the tragedy aside, has probably tens of thousands of military families who are constituents, aside from the fact
right.
that he wants to look out for the Army. And there are members like that all over the country. For reasons, you know, we have a lot of bases, and bases are strategically placed around the country,
right.
Frankly, not only for strategic reasons, but also for gerrymandering reasons. So there are a lot of members who have thousands and thousands of military in their districts who will be reacting this morning.
Well, we want military families to react to us, 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org. What do civilians need to know when something like this happens? And for American Muslims, also, react at 877-8-MY-TAKE. How did you learn of these events, and what do you want all of America to know about an appropriate response here as we wait to learn more? Let's shift gears for a second, Todd. There were some developments on the health care bill, and it seems as though we may actually get a vote in the House pretty quickly. How are they doing counting the votes there?
Yeah, it's looking like it. They're scheduled for a vote tomorrow evening. That doesn't mean they're going to take the vote necessarily. They say they're putting it on the floor. But as of right now, John, this morning, there's no indication that the 218 votes the Democrats need to pass this bill are necessarily locked down yet. They say they're going to get there, but they're not locked down yet. There's a couple of key issues hanging out there. One is cost, the overall cost of this bill. There are still those blue dog Democrats, quite a sizable number of them, who are really concerned about the cost of this bill, and they're afraid if they vote for it, they're going to face tough re-election back home with all the, you know, the unpopularity of government spending that's going on. The second are the old red meat issues. Abortion,
right.
Immigration.
Right.
This is a high-profile bill, so out comes abortion, which they're trying to settle. They made some progress last night in getting some compromise language. You know, we've talked about as many as 40 pro-life Democrats who say they won't support this bill unless there's very clear language saying anyone who's on the insurance exchange, cannot use any federal money to pay for abortion. So they're reaching some compromise language on that. Looks like it's going to be the same compromise we reached on stem cell research. You can do the research, you just can't use taxpayer money.
Right.
This is going to be the same thing. You can do the abortions, you just got to separate the private money from the taxpayer money.
The immigration issue has a pretty strong constituency there in the House. How are they doing with the language as it's moving towards a vote in the bill?
Another issue that's hanging out there, there have been moves. You know, the president said in his speech to the joint session, remember the you lie moment from Joe Wilson?
Sure.
That was about immigration. The president said no money will be used for illegal immigrants, and Joe Wilson yelled, you lie. That issue is still out there. The bill says that nobody who's an illegal immigrant can use taxpayer money. Some conservative Democrats and even some of the political Democrats who get people reelected want to tighten that language now. Well, that got a reaction from the Congressional Hispanic Caucus. They went to see the president yesterday. I have a cut here from Anita Velasquez of New York. She is the chairman of the Congressional Hispanic Caucus. She went to visit the president, and then she told me what she told the president.
We made it very clear that 20 votes in the Hispanic Caucus will be supportive of the current language in the House version. If the language changes, I guess that you're going to have 20 votes. That will change.
Well, they're holding tight there at this point. But what's the timetable on voting before we go, Todd?
Yeah, so they're aiming for tomorrow, for Saturday evening around 6 o'clock. But that's fluid. There's no schedule there. If they don't have the votes, they don't take the vote. It could push to Monday or Tuesday. The president himself is scheduled to come up to the Hill on Saturday to meet with the Democratic caucus to try to lock this thing down and make sure all these ducks are in a row. Again, if they don't
call the Congress people ducks. You're going to have to answer for that.
Todd's too flattering.
Todd's willing to take away Washington correspondent.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.